we are in a series right now called Chosen in 1 Peter, and like I said, I'm excited to share with you. We're chosen to proclaim, and I want to jump into part of my personal story that correlates to this chosenness. So sometimes we forget who we really are. And in 2012, I had a moment where so many things changed in my life. So many things shifted around. So many circumstances happened that I forgot who I was. I thought I didn't know who I was anymore. And I was a senior in university. And the two previous years, I worked really hard and basically hit burnout. And I was going into my second to last semester, and my body let me know that I have overworked. And I was getting bad headaches. I couldn't even focus. I couldn't even read a paragraph in a book because I couldn't even focus. I couldn't even sleep. It would take me an hour or an hour and a half to fall asleep. I started twitching as soon as I would relax, and I would just jump around in bed out of control, not being able to fall asleep. And so I had to withdraw from school, drop out of school, move back with my mom and dad. And then 6 months later after that, my appendix burst. The appendix is a little knob on the end of your intestines, and it burst, and it was actually really bad. They think it burst about 6 days before I went in for surgery. And they said if I waited one more day, I probably would have died. If 30, 40 years ago, I probably would have died. And so I go into surgery. They cut me up. There's toxins, and they have to cut out about 3 inches of my small intestine, sew it back up. 3 inches of my colon, sew it back up. And I am sitting there. Well, I can't even sit up. I am laying in the hospital bed and asking this question, who am I? I don't even know who I am. I feel like everything has been stripped from me. I'm no longer a student. All of my friends are gone. I'm no longer a friend to them. They're going to graduate. They're going to move on with their lives. I won't see several of them again. My health is gone. I can't even pray laying here in bed because I'm just in and out. I can't even serve God. I grew up in the church. My dad's a pastor. And I can't even serve God. That was part of my identity. It seemed like everything was stripped away, and I was asking, who am I? Who would want this? And it hit a low, getting real personal. I couldn't even pee. All of my core muscles had shut down where I couldn't even get waste out of my body. And for a 22-year-old athlete, it doesn't get more humbling when you have to get a catheter shoved up into your bladder because you can't even pee. So I can't even do these functions. Who am I? I've lost my identity. And so the question is, who am I? And do we ever have these questions of who are we? Who am I? The world kind of bombards us with so many ideas of who we are. They label us. They tell us who we are, who we should be. And who are we really? Are we what we do? Are we a business person? Are we a teacher? Are we a student? Are we what we accomplish? Are we successful? Are we wealthy? Are we an honor student? Are we defined by the things we do well? Are we defined by the things we don't do well? Or are we what other people say we are? If someone says I'm boring, am I boring? Someone says I'm funny, am I funny? So we have all these questions, who am I? And this is the same question that the early Christians were asking. And this is the reason Peter's writing this letter to the Christians. They're being scattered in their area. They're being persecuted, killed, hunted down. They are fleeing from their culture, from their families, from their friends. Everything seems to be getting stripped away from them. And they're asking, who am I? And in chapter 1, Peter is writing, remember you are chosen. Live with hope, live with holiness, live like you are chosen. And then we come to our main passage today, 1 Peter 2:9-10. And he says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So this is who we are. This is when everything seems to be stripped from us. Who are we really? This is who God says we are. And this is for Christians, those who have put their faith in God and follow him. So sometimes we forget who we really are. And going back to my story, 8 months after my surgery, I went back to school, and it was Christmas break, and I was back visiting my family. And during that time, I gained a ton of weight, and I was self-conscious, so I went to the gym late at night at 11 p.m., and I was going to go on the treadmill. And I'm going there, and there's TVs up in front of the treadmills, and Lion King is on, like the best Disney movie ever. Lion King is on. I'm like, I'm so going to watch this. So I put my headphones in, and I'm listening to it and running on the treadmill. And this is the clip that had really impacted me.
Boy.
Oh, sure do. You're Mufasa's boy. Bye.
Hey, wait. You knew my father?
Correction. I know your father.
I hate to tell you this, but he died a long time ago.
Nope. Wrong again.
He's alive. And I'll show him to you. You follow old Rafiki. He knows the way. Come on. Don't dawdle. Hurry up!
Whoa, wait.
Come on.
Would you slow down? That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look hard. You see, he lives in you.
Remember who you are. And so I'm on the treadmill, and I'm running, and it's like God is speaking straight to me, and he is saying, Ryan, remember who you are. And I'm saying, I don't know who I am. I'm not who I used to be. And he's saying, remember who you are. Remember me. You are the son of a king. You are my child. Remember who you are. And I was running on this treadmill, and then tears just start flowing down my face, and it clicked. It's like, I've forgotten who God is and forgotten who I am, and I need to come back to Him. Remember who you are. And so, this is the same message Peter is writing to the scattered Christians who are being persecuted. He's saying, remember who you are. Your identity seems to be stripped from you, but you have to remember God to remember who you are. And he says, but you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of His own possession. Remember, we are a chosen race. So Peter is writing to a group. He's saying, we are a chosen race. And this chosen race is not a cultural race, an ethnic race. This isn't the black race, the red race, the white race, the yellow race, the brown race. This is the chosen race. And this is the Christian race. This is a race that is not defined by where you come from, what colored skin you have, what language you speak. This race is defined by this chosenness. That's what brings us together. I mean, look around. It's okay. Look around. You can look around. We are so beautiful here in this room. There's so many different skin colors. There's so many cultures. There's so many different languages. But why do we come together? It's because we are the chosen race in God. We have this common denominator that has happened to us, and that's God choosing us. We are the chosen race. And it's not something that we have done, but it's God choosing us out. So who are we? We are chosen. Remember, we are a royal priesthood. So the priests, one of their roles is that they have direct access to God. In the Old Testament, priests would stand between a holy God and an unholy people. And so they have direct access to God. You used to have to go to them to offer sacrifices for sin, to pray, to plead, to thank God. But now we are priests. This is our identity. This is who we are. This is who God calls us as Christians. We have direct access to God. So anytime, anywhere, we can fall to our knees, call out to Him, and He hears us. That is amazing. We are priests. And another role of priests, like I said, is standing between God and unholy people, a holy God and unholy people. And we have this duty. It says in verse 9 that He called us out of darkness into light. And we're standing, we know the light, and we see friends, family, the world that don't know Jesus yet. Yet, they don't know Jesus yet. It's our job to go and to pray, to drag them into the light, to point them to God. If anything else, let us be a group that points others to God, to Jesus. So this is who we are. Who are we? We are chosen. We are royal priests. Remember, you're a holy nation. A holy nation. So this is our identity. This is who we are. So as Christians, we are already holy because Jesus already went to the cross, cleansed all of our wrongdoings, so we are claimed holy. So that's who we are. So if we do anything unholy, that is outside of our character. That's outside of our identity. That's not who we are. So if we do something unholy, it's outside of our identity, who we are as Christians. So let's get real for a moment. How are we doing at living a holy life? How are you guys doing at living a holy life? Is there an area in your heart, in your mind, that God is pointing to right now that is unholy? Is there an unholy area in your life that is floating to the top that God is pointing to and is saying, I want you to be holy. That's who you are as a Christian. Repent, ask for forgiveness, and start living a holy lifestyle. This unholy area in your life could be anything that God could bring to the surface that wants you to be holy. It could be pride, thinking you are better or higher, putting other people down because you think you're amazing. It could be sexual sin. It could be the way you talk and look at others. Or when you're in front of the computer screen and no one else is around, are you living a holy life? It could be drugs, alcohol, relationships that you're taking advantage of. Are you living a holy life? So who are we as Christians? We are chosen. We are royal priests and we are holy. Remember, we are God's possession. We're God's possession. Now this can kind of sound like almost slavery, owning a person, but that's not what Peter is saying and meaning by this. He's meaning possession within relationship. In Romans, it talks about us as Christians, if you believe in God, being adopted as sons and daughters into God's family, and he has this possession with you. In 2 Corinthians 6, it says, God says, Israel is my people, and I am their God. They are my possession. They are mine. And we are his children. Now, I don't have children, but I do have a wife. And just a week ago, we were walking in Saputra. So my wife is my possession. I am her possession. We don't control each other. We don't own each other, but we are each other's. And so we were walking in Saputra, and this guy was looking up and down my wife. And guys, when you look with lustful eyes, it's obvious. You can tell. And as I'm walking next to Marie, this rage just boils from my toes to my head. My fist is clenched. And I'm like, let's brawl. Let's fight right now. She is mine. You can do nothing to her. I will do whatever it takes to protect her. Get out of the way. And this jealous rage to protect. And that's exactly what God does to us. He walks with us. He is there to protect us, to fight for us at a moment's notice. And this is who we are. This is who we are. So who are we? We're chosen. We are royal priests. We are holy and we are his possession. His. So how do we get this identity? We are chosen by God. We are called priests by God. We are set apart to be holy by God. We are possessed by God. It is all God. And in our culture, in the world today, there's so many ideas of how we get our identity. If I self-identify myself, that's who I am. If I look inside myself enough, I can discover who I am. If I claim that I am this, then that's who I am. But that's not the biblical view. That's not what God calls us to. This Christian identity, this chosen identity, is all based on him. It's so God-centered. It's God choosing us. We are a God-chosen people. We are a God-ordained priesthood. We are a God-sanctified people. We are a God-possessed people. That's who we are. And it says, of him who called us out of darkness and into this marvelous light. Called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. We are a called people. We are called into this identity. We are pulled from the darkness into the light. This is who we are. And it is God choosing and working in us. Our identity is based on what God does to us, what God does for us, and what God does through us. This is how we get this identity. So now what? What's the purpose of this identity? And this is beautiful. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. So that you can proclaim the excellencies of him. So we have this identity. to reflect on his identity. We have this identity to live and to proclaim excellencies about God. And we do that by vocally proclaiming about God. We do that by the way we act. And this identity should impact us so much that once it moves, the hard part that we need to ask God for his help is we can know it in our brains, in our minds, but how does that transfer to our hearts? How does that transfer to our hands? How does that transfer to our feet so that we are walking in purpose, proclaiming God wherever we go, that with our hands we are working and proclaiming God with what we do, with our voices, our lips, we are proclaiming what God does, his excellencies in our lives. So remember, you are chosen, and proclaim about the one who chose you. Proclaim about the one who chose you. So God has given us this identity for the sake of making his identity known. And so the only way we can do this is if we're rooted in him and know who we are in God. That's the only way we can be bold, have courage to proclaim his excellencies to others with the way we live and the way we talk. So the question is, how are we doing HIF as a church at proclaiming his excellencies? How are you doing at proclaiming God's excellencies? At work with your coworkers, at home with your family, how do you proclaim his excellencies? With your friends, how do you proclaim his excellencies? By what you do, by what you say. By Hanoi the city, how do you proclaim your excellencies? So it all comes back to remembering who you are. So going back to the Lion King, the story, what does Simba do? He steps into who he is as king and moves forward. It is out of that identity that he can make an impact on the kingdom. And he goes back to the kingdom and he fights for life and for light. He goes back and he fights for life and for light. So let's watch one more clip. So what does Simba do? He steps into his role. He goes back, fights for life and light. And then it says, it is time. And he steps forward up to the edge of the rock, remembering who he is and is rooted in that. And from that, he proclaims, he roars. And through that proclamation, the roar, others join him in this roar. And what does it do? It brings life and light to the kingdom. That's what Peter is saying to the Christians who are scattered. Step out, remember who you are, to the ledge, and proclaim by the way you live, by the way you talk about the excellencies of God and what are the results. It encourages others to proclaim too. And it brings life and light. And it brings the light to the darkness and transforms lives. So HIF, it is time for us to step into our identity, to make an impact on our community with each other. It is time for us to step into holiness, to live holy lives through and through. It is time to remember our identity, to connect and be rooted to God so that we can proclaim. It is time to proclaim to God with the way we live and the words we speak. It is time to proclaim so we can encourage each other and have an impact and bring life and light to Hanoi, to each other, to this world, to have an impact. So we have to remember that we are chosen and proclaim about the one who chose us. Let's together proclaim the excellencies of God. Let's pray. Father, I pray that this word would stick to our hearts and our minds, that it would impact us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will continue to stir in us this week, giving us reminders to connect with you. Reminders when we don't feel chosen, that you call us chosen, that we don't feel like we can connect with you, but that you call us priests. When we feel like we are not holy, help us to turn to you, repent, and you will forgive and make us holy and cleanse us every single time. When we feel beaten and broken, remind us that you are fighting for us, that we are yours. Lord, give us a mindset that will change the way we talk, the way we live, and that we can encourage each other. Above all, Lord, we want to glorify you and make your kingdom broader and this light spread across the land. Lord, thank you for choosing us, for loving us, and thank you for HIF, this community that we do have. Help us to live out for you. We love you, Lord, and in Jesus' name, amen.